Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. I'm Emily Kwong, and my guests this morning are members of the Sitka Conservation Society. We have the Executive Director, Andrew Tomes, in the studio. How are you doing today?
Good, Emily. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. And Matt Simon, he is the Conservation Outreach Intern who has been in Sitka for a few months working with SCS. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing great. Loving Sitka.
Good. That's great. And especially the past few days, it's been kind of postcard beautiful. So you are screening a film tomorrow at the Larkspur Cafe at 7 o'clock. It's called Do the Math. This is a 42-minute documentary about the rising movement to change the math around climate change. What is that math, and why is it so terrifying for people who work in conservation?
So there's basically three numbers behind this math of the film. There's the 2 degrees Celsius, which is the number that international politicians and scientists have agreed is how much we can get away with warming the earth while avoiding real climate catastrophe. And then there's how much carbon we can pour into the atmosphere before we reach that number. It's about 500 gigatons of carbon. It's a lot of carbon. But then there's how much carbon we have in all the fossil fuel reserves that the oil companies are already, you know, planning to drill. And that's 2,500 gigatons of carbon, so five times that amount.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so the numbers that are being crunched in this film are also tied to a campaign. What is that campaign all about?
Yeah, so it's about the divestment campaign, which is a new part of the climate movement, you know, the movement to try to stop climate change. And it's aimed at getting institutions like colleges, churches, charitable institutions to divest, to take their money out of the fossil fuel industry, to send a political message that, no, we won't be complicit in this destruction of our environment.
Okay. And this film, well, first, actually, to just elaborate on what divestment is for perhaps people who really aren't familiar with these kinds of campaigns within the climate change movement. So you're a rising senior at Stanford University, and part of a group that assisted Stanford or convinced them to divest from the coal industry. So how did you end up convincing them to do it? What do you think was the thing that ultimately tipped the decision to divestment?
Yeah, just getting a lot of voices from different parts of the university, from like student movement was our biggest thing. We had like big rallies and just people doing a lot of work within our core team to, you know, inform the university of the numbers. But then there was also the fact that we had alumni support, we had faculty support, staff support, all pressuring the university, pressuring the board to take their money out of this industry that's, you know, wreaking havoc on the environment.
Okay. So, Andrew Tomes, you have brought in Matt to be a member of Sitka Conservation Society and to kind of spearhead the screening of this film. Why this film and why screen it right now in late, early August?
There's a lot going on right now in terms of government and policy related to climate change and the fossil fuel industry. We're feeling it really acutely here in Alaska with the drop in oil prices and the problems that fluctuation in oil prices cause our state. And there's the impact of climate change that it has on the environment in our state and the industries that rely on that environment, like commercial fishing, native villages that depend on subsistence resources in the far north and even here in southeast Alaska. People are seeing that climate change is happening and it's changing our lives and our infrastructure in our state. And the influence of oil corporations and oil price fluctuations is also having a really bad influence on our state. So coming up this summer, President Obama is visiting and he's making a number of policy changes related to renewable energies, climate change, and the fossil fuel industry. And our senator, Senator Murkowski, is the chair of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. So she's on a really powerful position in the U.S. Senate, which sets policy for our nation, which ultimately leads to policy globally on energy. And so we have a huge stake in it in Alaska. Not only are we the state that's most feeling the effects of climate change in the United States, but we've also got a very powerful senator who's on a committee that could change energy policy and point us in a better direction.
You know, some critics of divestment might say that that would be threatening to Alaska's future because so much of our economy does rely on these industries. And I'm wondering what you would say to those critics, because Alaska, the stake, you're right, is not only in terms of land and resources, but our financial well-being.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And we're at a point where we're facing economic difficulties with continued use of oil, but we're also feeling environmental difficulties with the continuing use of oil. But I think that we all know that oil and gas is a boom and bust industry. It's a non-renewable resource that will come to an end. It'll either come to an end in 5 years or 15 years or 20 years. The pipeline won't last forever. But if we don't stop using oil and fossil fuels and the oceans get to a point where they don't support renewable resources like our salmon, then the long-term impact on our state and the viability of living with this environment as the people here have for thousands of years won't be able to continue. So we do have to make that choice, and we do have to figure out how to mitigate those impacts and what has the best long-term prospects for our state. And I would argue that living with the natural resources that are renewable is a much better bet than the non-renewable resources that are having a terrible impact on the renewable resources that a lot of us depend on.
Hmm. I really wish I had someone here from the oil industry so we could like really get into this discussion. Alas, morning interview. But Matt, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you're doing this whole series of articles called The Real Cost of Oil. So what have you discovered in writing them? And Andrew, perhaps you can weigh in something that surprised you in the research that Matt has dug up about how the oil industry affects Alaska.
Yeah, so I've learned a lot about how oil, you know, muddies into politics. Here in Alaska, it's definitely felt. There is the whole Corrupt Bastards Club in 2006, where, you know, the FBI ended up doing a probe and finding that VECO, this oil field services corporation, had been, you know, counting out cash bribes to give to politicians to pass the laws that they wanted. And still today, there are, you know, politicians who work for oil companies serving in the Alaskan legislature. And throughout the country, too, it's a huge problem. These corporations are able to buy, you know, subsidies that mean they don't really have to pay taxes like other people do, and they're able to operate in ways that they shouldn't. You know, they're not subject to a lot of the rules of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, which is obviously a huge problem considering what these companies are working with.
I think what I've learned is just the amount of subsidies and government policy that it keeps encouraging us to use more oil and fossil fuels. And that if our political leaders decided that they were going to invest in policy that encouraged use of renewable energy would be a lot more widespread and a lot cheaper. And we dealt with it in Sitka. We financed a renewable energy facility when we expanded the Blue Lake Dam. And most of that cost had to come from Sitka. And we had to make that decision because federal energy policy doesn't encourage the investment in renewable energy at this point. It encourages the continuation of the vested interest of huge oil corporations that are making record profits and being supported by government subsidies. And it's the wrong direction that we need to go in. So divestment is a way for the private sector and universities to show that they want policy that invests in renewable energy, and our government policy needs to follow, and we need to prioritize in our energy policy renewable energy technologies.
If you listening want to read these articles and make up your own mind about divestment and the real cost of oil, where can they find them?
They're on the Conservation Society website at sitkawild.org. And then there's a blog and there's a page under What We Do called Climate Change in Alaska.
Okay. I think it's sitkawild.org/climatechangeinalaska with underscores beneath all those words, between all those words. That's a completely unhelpful description, but you should be able to find it fairly easily if you're interested in reading these. So Do the Math is screening tomorrow. And I'm wondering also, when it comes to watching the film, what about it struck a chord with you as a local organizer when watching this film and thinking about the issues faced by Sitkans and by Southeast?
You know, just how much we depend on the natural environment of the ocean right out in front of us. Commercial fishermen and salmon and the water temperatures of the ocean and the acidity levels on the ocean and what climate change is going to do to that is a huge unknown, and it's really scary for a lot of us. And so looking at these numbers and thinking about the impacts of continued use of this much fossil fuels out into the future and what that's going to do to the resources that we depend on is really concerning, and it's something that we need to take action on and help shift policy and move things forward to a new place.
That's really hard work, though, because I was watching the trailer for the film, and it is about, of course, what's going on, but also about what people are trying to do to mitigate that or to address it. So my last question for you guys is, members of Sitka Conservation Society, some of the leadership behind it, what are some of the barriers to making local change possible? What have you come up against that's been difficult when organizing around these issues?
I think that here in Sitka, we can be really proud of ourselves for the investment that we made in making sure that 99% of our local electric is coming from renewable energy. And then investments people have made into heat pump technology, so they're heating their house with renewable energy. And people have electric or hybrid cars, so they're using less resources. And fishermen are making investments to make more efficient boats, so they're burning less fuel. All those things are really moving it forward. What we need is help from our political leadership, and especially Senator Murkowski, who understands climate change. She understands the impacts, and she knows really well the dependence that we have on the fishing industry and the ocean environment and the impacts that climate change has there. So we need to help her deal with the vested interest of the oil corporations that are pretty much setting policy for our country, and help to push policy in a direction that encourages investment in renewable energy.
Yeah, I'm really proud of communities like Sitka for being able to set the example at the local level that, yes, you can get to 100%, close to 100% renewable electricity generation. And I really feel optimistic that these solutions are going to be adopted at the state level and the national level and soon the global level. The oil corporations do leverage a lot of power in politics, but something the movie is really inspiring about is how big these people's movements are nowadays. There's huge marches across the globe demanding climate action, and I really think that's going to have success in politics.
You've been listening to Matt Simon. He's the Conservation Outreach Intern at Sitka Conservation Society, and Andrew Tomes is the Executive Director. Their film that they're screening tomorrow is Do the Math, and it will be screened at 7 o'clock tomorrow at the Larkspur Cafe. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks.